Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Let's say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, talking some NHL. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Happy holidays to everybody, as I'm sure everybody is completely focused on what they're doing work-wise and not looking at the calendar right now.
No, not at all. Yeah, I walked down our hallway and I didn't see anybody. I saw tumbleweeds going through the hallway. So,
dude, like we put out the new edition of our podcast that dropped today, and like sometimes I look at, you know, the numbers and stress over them. I'm like, who's even checking this out today, man? It's Christmas. Like everybody's completely checked out. They're all stressed out. If you're like me, you probably have at least 15% of your presents you still have to buy. So it's fine. Everybody's heads are in different places right now.
So that's our question of the day. Have you completed your Christmas shopping?
And is it really?
Yeah. So it sounds like you have not.
No, I don't. And so it's also gotten to the point where, so my mom is a very early shopper, right? And so like I'll get a text from her in like September that's like, what do you want for Christmas? Or like, what does your daughter want for Christmas? I'm just like, Ma, it ain't Halloween. It's not even like Labor Day, right? Like I cannot be that. I'm a deadline oriented guy. I'm a writer. Like I cannot be that forward thinking. And so she gets her whole thing wrapped up by like, you know, opening night of the NHL season. And meanwhile, like I'm definitely going to a store tomorrow to figure out like a few more gifts for my family. So yeah, I don't think I'm alone. Like I think there is a last minute sort of thing. I mean, you got to be forward thinking when it comes to certain items that might like sell out or not be able to get to your house in time. But I don't know, the rush, the energy of finding that perfect gift, and it's like December 23rd. I don't know, man. Like I'm down with it.
Sometimes it just happens that way, and that's what you have to do. You have on ESPN.com your trade tiers as. We're not quite to trade season, but it's getting close. You know, after the first of the year, we'll start getting towards the deadline. Obviously, the Predators are shopping Tyson Barrie, as that's kind of been an odd situation here. But when do you think the first shoe will drop when it comes to a big trade in the NHL?
I have a feeling it's going to have to come from Calgary. You know, they're a team, obviously, that's been sniffing around the bubble, and they've been competitive and stuff. But you know, I don't think anybody has any disillusions about them being like our cup contender, right? And so they've got guys on expiring contracts, and Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev and Elias Lindholm. And in the case of Lindholm, they've got one of the most coveted players that could be available at the deadline. You know, the Colorado Avalanche have made no secret the fact that they love him to be potentially a second line center behind Nathan MacKinnon. The Bruins have been fond of Lindholm through the years as well. So, like, there's going to be suitors for him. There's going to be really good teams that have a need for him. And I think also just, like, rare is the player that has the total package of defense and offense like Lindholm has. They could pull a pretty good return for him if, in fact, it comes down that, A, they feel comfortable being a seller, and, B, they're confident that he's not going to resign there.
Barry Trotz, Predators GM, was on our afternoon show on Tuesday and was asked about – you know, he had a plan going into the season, and I think we'd all agree that, and he even said it, that he feels like his team's a little ahead of where he thought they were going to be at this point. And so does that change how he looks at the deadline? I think there's other GMs that, you know, probably are going to think that way. But when you look at the Predators' current roster, and he said if he could add, it'd be for offense and secondary scoring. As you look at their roster, what do you think that – their biggest need would be, and is there somebody that stands out that could fit this roster?
No, man, you know, the tiers, you can check out the tiers to see exactly what forwards could be available. And, you know, there are some that are pretty interesting, especially from sort of a depth perspective. We don't have like a lot of super blockbuster name players like we had at the deadline last year, outside of potentially Steven Stamkos. But I think Barry's pretty right on that as far as what the needs are and where they could use a little bit more help, especially with the way that Andrew Brunette has them playing. I mean, they've been good offensively, and I think the more potential goal scorers you could add to that roster, the better. But with an idea, of course, like you said off the top, that you know, you don't want to go all in on a season where you might not need to go all in, and you know, could be content with the trajectory of what was supposed to be a young team this year.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski. He is ESPN's senior NHL writer.
Greg, not that anybody cares about Ottawa. Why the hell are they six games behind games played than everybody else in the league?
Building availability, schedules. They also, it's a great question. And it's one of those deals where when they made the firing of DJ Smith, you know, I think everybody looked at where they were in the standings. They're like, that's a last place team. And it's like, hold up, their points percentage is better than like three other teams in the East just because they haven't played enough games. And, you know, there was a school of thought that they were going to keep DJ Smith around for the full season because they're just going to hire a new GM. He's going to obviously fire DJ Smith or not offer the option on his contract next summer if he'd stuck around. But I think, you know, it's hard to not look at the results for teams like Edmonton and Minnesota and the other teams that have made changes this year behind the bench and think that you might be able to capture lightning in a bottle and get back into this thing. And part of the reason why is that they had so much runway ahead of them in having, you know, upwards of like six or seven games in hand on some of the teams they're chasing in the division. So, yeah, it's a schedule anomaly, but I think it probably did play into why they ultimately decided to fire DJ Smith this week.
Very interesting. All right, we're about 11 games away from the halfway point of the season. It's always a good time to see what team needs to start kicking it in or they could be done here in a few weeks. Not done, but be so far behind the way to get back in the playoff chase could be something just monumental.
It's definitely the Penguins. Like the Penguins are a team that is still trying to find its identity. They're still trying to climb up the standings. They're still trying to find consistency. They're that team this year that it just seems like whenever something goes right, another part of the team goes wrong, and they just cannot seem to get rolling. And you know, they're the thing about them that's interesting. You know, there's other teams that are struggling. The Devils, in particular, also need to get going. But they're a team whose window to win the Devils is pretty well open for the next several years. You can't say the same thing about the Penguins. So if they don't look like a playoff team, then it gets kind of interesting insofar as how they approach, say, the trade deadline. You got a guy like Jake Guentzel, for example, who's an accomplished offensive player, a really solid winger, can easily slide into somebody's top six somewhere, who's got an expiring contract. And, you know, if you're the Penguins and you start to kind of think about, all right, maybe we can't win with this core, do you start thinking about peeling off some of the assets that you have and changing the complexion of the team and thinking about the next phase? Because that's also part of GM Kyle Dubas's job there. It's not only to try to build a winner around Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and now Carlson. It's also to kind of think about what's next for that franchise.
Where did you have Arizona in your preseason picks? And somebody needs to tell them that they shouldn't be playing this well, right?
I had them pretty high, to be honest with you, because I thought there was a chance that they could be a bubble team. I thought there was a chance that their coach might get a little Jack Adams love because of how they played. They were a pesky group last year, and they've got something that a lot of teams in the West don't have, which is goaltending. And they got two really good goaltenders there. Mullet magic is real. They play really well there. And they made some smart veteran additions in the offseason that have paid off. And I also thought that the arrival of Logan Cooley would have a pretty big effect, and he's been all right this year. So, you know, they had a lot of things kind of pushing in their direction. But the real story for them is how bad the conference is, you know. I talked about it on the drop today. The Eastern Conference going into Wednesday night had, I think it was 12 teams or 13 teams above 500. And in the West, you had eight. So, like, there's a huge disparity right now in the quality of the two conferences. And if you're the Arizona Coyotes, like, you're better than, you know, four, maybe five teams in your conference. So it shouldn't be too much of a surprise they're making the push they're making.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, when you watch the Predators and specifically Philip Forsberg, do you feel like you're seeing the Forsberg that everybody thought he was going to be?
So are we making the argument that he hasn't been the Forsberg? Because he's had some really good seasons.
Of course he has, but I feel like he's found that next level that I know everybody was like, he's good, but there's another tier, and it feels like he's getting to that, and I think the head coach has a lot to do with it.
It has everything to do with it. I mean, you could honestly say that this is the first time in his career that Forsberg has had a guy who puts a premium on offense versus defense as his coach. And, you know, certainly I think that was part of the thinking for Barry Trotz was the idea that not only hiring Andrew Brunette was kind of in keeping with the way the league is going right now and the trend for the league, which is very much an offensive trend, but also could benefit the players that were on the roster that he knew could break out, could have great offensive seasons, and it certainly has benefited Forsberg.
Yes, indeed, for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always. Happy holidays to you and the family, and we will talk to you next week.
Much appreciated. Happy holidays, everybody.
Absolutely. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every Thursday at 9:30 to talk some hockey. And yeah, I've been asking a lot of people that question about Forsberg, and I feel like it all comes back to Andrew Brunette. And I
right.
Jared asked Barry Trotz pretty much point blank on Tuesday of, when you made the coaching change, was Forsberg really the catalyst behind it? And he kind of answered it, but I think, you know, I think that's the truth.
Well, last year it wasn't a great year, right? I mean, if I
no,
I
he
don't
got
like
hurt.
Pay attention
he
to every hurt. Single thing he does, but exactly. So it's not wasn't a great year, whether he get hurt or not.
He got hurt, but he wasn't having
right.
like a Forsberg. He had scored 40 goals a year before, and then, you know,
yeah.
wasn't really he wasn't
but
on
watching
pace for
the
that.
Confidence he exudes now is fantastic. And I asked that Arizona question because is it me or is it Arizona and Phoenix where they were? They've always given the Preds fits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Forever. When they were awful, they gave the team fits. Did they knock him out in 20, the COVID year?
It was, in the bubble.
Yeah. And then, of course,
the play-in series.
Yeah, back to 2012 and all that stuff that went on. It's like they always give, and they're right on the Preds' tail, too. So I was like, they need to understand that they're not good, and that they need to be told that and read the memo.
Yeah.
And go backwards.
That's such a fascinating situation, too, because, like you said, they're overachieving, they're playing well, and they're playing in an arena that holds, like, 15,000 people. Like, or not even that, 5,000 people. Like, they're playing in a college arena, and I would love to see that situation get figured out, but that's also been one of those things that the NHL has been trying to save for 10 years.
We should have asked Greg about Malik Willis, about he should start or not.
Yes, indeed. We'll get to some answers of our question of the day. Have you finished Christmas shopping? You just heard Greg Wyshynski. He has not.
Smart man.
Joe hadn't even started. I haven't finished, but I got the bulk of it done, so I'm almost there. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A bowl season is back. 102.5, 106.3, and 94.9 The Fan is your home for college bowl games and the college football playoff presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. You can catch the Boca Raton Bowl tonight at 6:30 on 94.9 The Fan as South Florida takes on Syracuse. For a full list of games carried on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, just check out our website at thegamenashville.com/bowlgames.